I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
In 49 other states, football is just a game. But this is Wisconsin.
The Green Bay Packers have won the Super Bowl. The Lombardi Trophy is coming home.
Wisconsin fans demand the best. The best analysis, the best interviews, the best coverage, and no one delivers like the Bill Michaels Huddle.
Good evening and welcome. We are broadcasting the Huddle tonight from a great place, a place we love coming to each and every year. We get a chance to see our buddy Cornet and the whole staff down here at Coach's Pub and Grill on South 13th Street in Milwaukee, the home of the Big Boy Burger and so much more. Come on down and say hello tonight. They got a big night coming up tomorrow night, the night before Thanksgiving. And then obviously if you want to come out for some Thanksgiving fun and frivolity, you can do that as well. All the way through every game, by the way, you can stop by here as well. Drew Burgoyne from CBS 58 joining us here tonight at the table. Also, Billy Schmidt, Baby Tausch, joining us from our flagship station out of Milwaukee, 105.7, 1250 AM, The Fan. And guys, thanks for coming out on the craptastic rainy night.
Thanks for having us, Bill.
At least it's not like 12 inches of snow, meteorologist dude, right?
Hey, we called it right.
We're going to
have
Drew.
Some rain, some wind, right? I want the Big Boy Burger, so that's why I'm
That's
here, right?
Fantastic.
I'm just glad Drew got us all ready and told us what was going to happen.
Right?
I knew that I had to go with my four-wheel drive because I knew at some point maybe this is going to turn to a little bit of ice, right, Captain?
I think we're going to be all right. You're going to be fine.
Okay, good. Good, because I didn't wear my winter jacket, I only went halfway.
So have the extra one tonight, brought to you by Bud Light. Thank you very much. The official beer sponsor of the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network. So we're sitting here talking about this Packers team and this game this past weekend, the Sunday night spectacular or craptacular, depending on how you want to look at it.
Oof.
But let me start here, and Drew, I'll ask you. So Aaron Rodgers has taken a lot of criticism this week. He was 0-for when it came to third down conversions. The offense didn't look good. Targeting Davante Adams continuously. So you tell me, is this, if you had to put a percentage on it, what is it Aaron Rodgers, because I think Aaron Rodgers is taking too much heat. I mean, I think he's just doing kind of what they're supposed to do. He is looking for Davante Adams. He's trying to look for a playmaker. I think at times he gets away from that. But for the most part, it looked to me like this team was just out coached, and it's more so on the coach than it is and the play caller than it is on Aaron Rodgers' shoulder. So if I had to give a blame, I'm probably going, 40% of this was Aaron Rodgers, and the rest of it you can trickle down to O-line and coaching and everything else.
Yeah, I'm just going to go 25%. I'll go 25% offensive line, and then half of it to me is coaching. I think we're seeing a rookie head coach, who's had a great start. I mean, it's been a wonderful start. I mean, it exceeded my expectations, no doubt about it. But the lack of the in-game adjustments or we're two steps behind. I mean, two great examples. You've got both of these California games where you got punched in the mouth. The first one, let's say you're not prepared, but there's no way you're not prepared with a bye week. And I just felt like they were out-coached and LaFleur was two steps behind the whole game.
Mm-hmm.
The whole Alex Light deal to me, I mean, come on, man.
You got to go over there and throw him a life preserver at some point. Everybody in the building knew that he was getting beat like a drum.
Yeah, you felt bad for him. There's nothing he could do. The Bulaga thing, that's not his fault, but you got to make adjustments. So I think more of this is on coaching and going forward. And the game plan, I know he said, we're just going to stick with the game plan. Well, I think a lot of people laughed at that because I don't think they agreed with it.
I go back 3-4 weeks ago. They're taking on the Oakland Raiders. They're spreading the ball around. They're running it in many different facets. You've got Aaron Jones with 12 touches for 50 yards. Aaron Jones catching the ball four times for 33 yards out of the backfield. It looks like Aaron Rodgers with a touchdown run. Aaron Rodgers had a big day with 5 touchdowns in that ball game. Jimmy Graham had a touchdown. They're spreading it around to everybody the week after that. You've got at Kansas City, same thing. And that game in which Aaron Jones went off for over 250 yards, he had 20 touches in that ball game. They're spreading it around. Jones, Lazard, Graham, Williams, Kumro, Lewis, Geronimo Allison, Marquez Valdes-Scantling, all getting catches in that ball game. And then it hit. And then you go back and you look at the game against the Chargers. and Aaron Jones very little, 8 touches in that ball game. Only had one, or eight attempts in that ball game of rushing, only 1 catch in that game,
yep.
So 9 catches. You go back the next week after that, and you look at Carolina, he didn't have a catch out of the backfield. You know, and your most dynamic playmaker, in my opinion, not getting the ball, and then you go back to this week, and you look at it and say, okay, and Geronimo Allison, but Devontae Adams, by the way, 30 targets in the last 3 games, they're 1-2.
Well, and they've only targeted Aaron Jones. He had 1 catch for -1 yard.
Yeah.
And like, this is also when you do see teams start to scheme in a different way, right? And now you're starting to see teams see the film from that Kansas City game and know, all right, we put a linebacker on this guy on the outside, he's going to shred us, and we're going to get torched all day long. We're not going to be able to play that way. But to be able to get your best playmakers the football in key spots, we talked to David Bakhtiari on the local show down here in Milwaukee today, and he first off said, you know, how do you guys get him more involved, right? And he said, well, as an offensive lineman, I have to go work on my job and everything's going to handle itself. If I was a quarterback, if I was a coach, I'd be able to give you a little bit more of an answer. So you can read into that whatever you want, if I was a quarterback or if I was a coach, that he maybe sees there being some differences in opinion of how they're going to spread the football around. But the proof is in the pudding, Bill. We talked about it on your show earlier today. You got to get your best playmakers the football. And in a game like that where you're not maybe able to get into your game plan like you want to right away, you got to start forcing it at some point. They never did that.
So let me ask you this. Talking to Bakhtiari today, give me your thoughts. When you walked away from that conversation, what did you feel the consensus was?
It felt like to me that he expects them to get the football to Aaron Jones more, that he's been waiting for them to get Aaron Jones the football more. And once, when you continually are shooting yourself in the foot with pre-snap penalties and penalties that are backing you up and putting you behind the sticks, I don't think they were able to get into what they had planned for Aaron Jones, but it sounded like there was some ways they felt they were going to be able to manipulate the matchup against San Francisco, but they're waiting for a certain down and distance. They're waiting for the certain opportunity, and you know this as well as anybody, Bill. You've been around this game and around this team for a long time. Sometimes you need to push the issue to get your playmakers the football. Like, it feels like you're pushing the issue to get 17 the football.
Question about the penalties, and some were, you know, just dumb things, but do you think part of it, they were just literally overmatched?
And they're
holding and yeah. They're just doing everything they can not to get Rodgers. I just felt that they were absolutely dominated, much like they were back in 2012 when the Niners were just stout on both sides of the ball.
Point.
That's what it felt like to me watching that game. I'm like, this seems like deja vu. It's not Kaepernick back there, and they don't need that. They absolutely dominated.
The penalties are weird because the 49ers were penalized 9 times versus 5 for the Packers. But the Packers seem to get penalties at the most inopportune time.
Exactly.
And it seemed to be more offensive penalties than it was defensive penalties.
And they were
dumb
penalties.
Which put them in bad down and distance. You know, obviously starting out with Devontae Adams, and that's a ticky-tack call. But, I mean, the question then becomes, why do it? You know
right.
what I mean? Why do it to begin with?
Talk when you're on the line next play. You got 4 quarters to tell this dude how good you are.
Right.
Just wait till the next play.
Yeah.
Then when I line up against Richard Sherman, I can say, hey, man, remember that 10-yard dig route I just had on you?
Yeah.
I'm going to do it for 12 this time.
Yeah.
Apparently I didn't the rest of the game.
Right,
right.
It was a ticky-tack call, and I think that the officials probably could have left it go unless something egregious was said. Usually sometimes it's the verbiage that goes along with
well,
it.
Well, and, too, look at the league. They were trying to make sure that wasn't happening on another primetime game where it got chippy
and it got out of hand right away. Good point,
yeah.
I completely understand it, and I know there were people arguing that point that it's minor, it's no big deal. And I kept saying, do you realize what just happened a week
ago
when it got out of town, when
it
got
starts.
Out of hand?
Yeah.
So. I completely understand it. We're broadcasting live down here at Coach's Pub and Grill. We're on South 13th Street in Milwaukee, home of the Big Boy Burger, brought to you by our friends at Bud Light. So come on out to Huddle tonight. They're going to be here till 8 o'clock this evening. If you want to stop by, you can. They're giving away some prizes from Bud Light. Also, anybody that gets a registration slip tonight, get registered for the big screen TV we're giving away at the end of the season. Compliments of ABC Audio Video and Chris and the gang over there. So we talked a lot about the offense, but specifically the offensive line. You mentioned the physicality. Corey Linsley's pretty solid, but he was a step slow. I mean, he was behind. I mean, between him, obviously Billy Turner has had his ups and downs this season. But I think, really, when you saw this line kind of, I don't want to say fall apart, but really started to give it up, when Bulaga went down, I mean, we've realized Bulaga's value when he's not been in there rather than when he has been in there. Would you agree?
it's been a totally different team when Brian Bulaga is not anchoring one side of it. And also, Billy Turner is a different football player when Brian Bulaga is not next to him as well. And they're able to, I think, manipulate that matchup a little bit more. DeForest Buckner gave a lot of welcome to the NFL moments as well. He graded really well, yeah. Bill, but seeing a couple of times when Elton Jenkins got popped into the chest a couple of times by DeForest Buckner, they were teaching a lesson in the physicality of that game right off the jump.
Elton Jenkins looks really good. I think he's just got to, you know, you got to get through an entire season and then kind of see what everybody's got and different techniques, and then I think it benefits you. But Elton Jenkins, Drew, he up until that game this past Sunday night, he had not given up a sack all season long.
No, he seems pretty stout at the attack, and I mean, the team has been wanting him in. I mean, it was unfortunate, you know, with the injury, you know, with the offensive line earlier, but he got his start. He's not giving it up.
Doesn't that happen a lot in sports, though, like where a team will pick this kid? They pick Elton Jenkins. They knew they wanted to start Elton Jenkins.
Right.
At some point, it's the circle of life that we have this guy that has 1 year left on his contract, but we'd really like to start this young kid, so go beat him, and then we can play it, and then ultimately the injury falls in their lap, and they might have a guy that could play in a Pro Bowl.
Now the question becomes, what do they do in the offensive line while Brian Bulaga, even though it was the best of news, only a sprained MCL, he most likely is not going to be playing this weekend. So now what do they do? We'll talk about that when we come back. Broadcasting live here, we are sitting here inside our friends at Coach's Pub and Grill, South 13th Street in Milwaukee. It's the Bill Michaels Huddle brought to you by Bud Light. We're here until 8 o'clock. Come on out and say hi. We've got more coming up right after this.
Everywhere in Wisconsin, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
We are back. The Bill Michaels Huddle back out on the road tonight. We are at Coach's Pub and Grill on South 13th Street in Milwaukee here until 8 o'clock this evening. Come on over. Say hello. We're going to be here until, like I said, 8 o'clock tonight. And it's all brought to you by our friends at Bud Light. Drew Burgoyne from CBS 58 is here. Baby Talis, Bill Schmidt is here from our flagship station out of Milwaukee, 1250 AM and 105.7 FM, The Fan. And we were talking about this offensive line. So now what? Because it appears they've elevated one of the cats off the practice squad.
How do you say his name?
Yeah, clearly Alex Light is...
My boy Yash?
Yash.
You don't have a boy named Yash back in?
No.
Back home? You guys don't hang out with your boy Yash every once in a while?
There's no Yash.
It's an imaginary friend.
There's no Yash hanging out, you know?
It's Yash.
So,
maybe it's just a millennial.
It's a soft J.
Maybe that's what it is, yeah. So, I guess the question becomes, who do you think ends up in playing that right tackle position? How much shuffling do you think they're going to do? I mean, I look, they're not going to be playing a really staunch defensive front. I mean, they're decent against the run. They're not great. Their secondary's all beat up. So I guess the way to beat the New York Giants is simply don't allow pressure on Aaron Rodgers, and the rest is going to kind of handle itself because that secondary is young and not great. So who plays the right tackle position?
I think you got to go with Alex Light at this point. I think you got to give the dude a chance to have the full week, understand, know that he's going to be playing, and have a week of practice where you see what you have to do to get this guy ready for game day. Because we're talking about Brian Bulaga out this week. Also, I would forecast that he misses the Washington game, because what do you need him in that game? What you need him for is to be ready to go against 52 and 94 against Chicago and 94 and 90 against Minnesota. Because those are big-time pass rushers in big-time games that are going to get after somebody. So Ryan Kerrigan, good guy for Alex Light to play against. That's a higher level of competition than maybe you'll see this week. But I think you go with Alex Light when you know you got to give him some help. You're quicker on the trigger than in the middle of the fourth quarter like you saw this week.
Run the football, right? I mean, run the football,
right.
You know,
that
off
helps
the gut.
Too.
I mean, if you're getting that pressure on the outside. Now, I know you couldn't do that with San Francisco because that defensive line, I mean, arguably is the best in, you know, the National Football League.
Yeah, 100%.
And they showed it. I mean, they absolutely showed it. But I feel with the Giants, you know, you should be able to run the football, slow down the pass rush, and allow Aaron Jones, who, in my humble opinion, is your best offensive weapon. I mean, he is the difference maker. He's special. I mean, he should supersede Davante Adams 10 times out of 10. And he should only make Davante Adams better, quite frankly. But let that guy, you know, get into space. I mean, there were spots in the game this past week. Wasn't he standing wide open?
Yeah.
Wasn't Aaron Jones standing wide open?
He had a couple of times coming out of the backfield that he was pretty open, you know.
For sure.
And again, he's had his big runs off of the pass play has not been big pass plays downfield. It's been quick outs or short outs that he has broken into big runs.
Get the ball into your playmaker's hands.
You just get it into his hands. He's so quick. So, you know, I understand, you know, look, Aaron Rodgers said Davante Adams was the top three receiver in the league. I think we can all agree, no, he's not.
No.
Especially when you've seen what some of those top receivers have done.
No, he's not. No. He's very good. And I've said that before. Look, I'm not going to demean Davante Adams and say, no, he's not good or no, he's average.
You've been on this for a while, Bill. We've talked about this a few times on your show.
I just have never bought into that because the eyeball test tells me different.
Yeah.
When you don't consistently have double teams on him, that tells me guys are trying to do it one-on-one, and if they're successful, he's not 4-3 speed. He can go up and get a ball. He is a timing guy. He runs good routes with Aaron Rodgers, and there's a trust level there, but he's not top three. This is not Amari Cooper streaking down the sideline. This is not Julio Jones in his day going down the sideline. So, you know, to me, and I said this kind of tongue-in-cheek, but I mean it, the Packers do have a number two wide receiver. It's Davante Adams. They don't have that big-time number one.
Well, and my favorite part about it is, too, how do you remedy this next year? And it stinks that we're already talking, like, trying to make your team better for a Super Bowl run next year. But you're looking at it in, is having only Davante Adams the problem, or is it if you have the legit number one on the other side, what is Davante Adams going to – how is he going to react? And you don't want to even think that that's an issue because the dude has fallen in line all his entire career except for week three against the Broncos when he squawks after
say,
you win.
Yeah, I think you tell him you need help. You know, if they are concentrating on you or you're not getting open, we can't get you the ball, or we target you 12 times but really only seven passes are worth, you know, targets is catch, then it is what it is. But I'll say this. I don't think for those that said, well, Emmanuel Sanders would have looked better in a Green Bay Packer uniform, and I can't argue that, but Emmanuel Sanders doesn't win them that ball game the other night.
No chance.
They got punched in the face.
And if
physically.
You think Emmanuel Sanders was the number one receiver that was going to make Davante Adams' targets fall down, I think you're completely kidding yourself. If Aaron Jones doesn't demand targets and Emmanuel Sanders was going to be on the outside who can't get away from Jair Alexander, I don't see that happening either.
No, I completely agree with that.
There are holes. You know, and that's the thing with starting so, you know, to have this great record to start out, it's easy to just put the blinders on and be like, oh, my gosh, here they go. They're going to roll. But going into the season, we knew that there were holes all over the place. And Goody can only fill a certain amount. You only have a certain amount of cash to be able to do it, and you only have a certain amount of draft picks. So he's got to hit big time this offseason, especially in the first, you know, the first couple of rounds to find guys. I mean, it's not just receiver, you know, offensive line, tight end, inside linebacker, who, by the way, I remember a couple of years ago when Ted Thompson was still there, Gutekunst came out to talk about one of the draft picks, and he basically said, we don't value inside linebacker. He was the one who said it.
That was one of the thought processes. I
don't know if that's going to change, but it better, because I mean, if we keep saying that you keep getting torched by guys like Kittle and whoever else as a tight end, quite frankly, it's going to continue. It's not going to stop.
I mentioned this today. Look, Kittle's kind of the best of the best. You know, Greg Olsen still can get it done. He had a decent game
100%.
And had a big catch. You know, I mean, some of the tight ends they faced, you can say, well, they face some of the best, and they've had a pretty difficult schedule for the first, you know, 10 weeks of the season, and it does get easier. So, and in the meantime, San Francisco obviously gets a lot tougher. They've got to go to Baltimore, and Baltimore looks like a juggernaut right now.
Really?
Then they got to go down to the Dome and take on the New Orleans Saints before they come back home, and they got a couple easy games, and then they kind of close out their season going to Seattle. So they don't have an easy road if they're going to still end up with the number one seed in the NFC, while the Packers could virtually, if they end up knocking off Minnesota, they could win out. It's not the toughest schedule in the world at this point.
And how tough is it, like, in this point? This is one of the most enjoyable times as a sports fan when your team is getting good again, right?
Yeah.
Like the Packers for the last couple of years, we've had to suffer with knowing they have talent around that could be competing for a championship, but the team itself just can't. So you're in this run of where the team is getting good. You're seeing, oh, man, we actually have maybe a top five running back in the conference. We can move the ball. We can throw it. We can defend. We can actually get after somebody on the defensive side. And you're starting to see things fall in line, and you don't actually want to say, well, they do really only have one legit target that they want to get it to on the outside. And you start kind of overlooking some of those gaps that you have and some of those holes that you have at that point. Look at that 2018 draft of what Brian Gutekunst has brought into the team. Outside of maybe one in Jair Alexander. There's a lot of misses on that radar there in 2018.
They started out really hot, and then
really hot.
One by one started to fade.
And you start looking at some of those names. We went through it on the show yesterday, and because I had it brought up to us.
Josh Jackson has not performed.
He was a healthy scratch 2 weeks ago.
Oren Burks has had the injury, but I will have to wait and see how he plays. Cole Madison, obviously now out for the remainder of the season and had to take a season off. J.K. Scott, his leg is on a milk carton.
You have no idea what's happening there,
right?
Marquez Valdes-Scantling, you're still waiting for him to kind of develop. Equanimeous St. Brown not playing this year because of an injury. Then what do you got? James Lorenz and
Jamon Moore is in Cleveland.
And Jamon Moore is in Cleveland. It didn't turn out the way we thought it was. And that was supposed to be the draft that was going to fortify the wide receiving the core. The reason you could go ahead and let go of Randall Cobb.
Yep.
Which I still look for the money he got. I don't have a problem with it. Let him go. He is doing some good things down there, but I'd rather let him go a year too early than a year too late. And I said it before, he's a great route runner. He wasn't oversized. He wasn't going to go up and get a ball at the apex. He wasn't fast. He wasn't going to be burning a bunch of people. He was maybe an inside slant guy every now and then, but where he was so special was on the comeback when Aaron got into trouble.
100%.
Aaron was a scrambler. He would show up. I go back to when he came back to take on the Giants in the postseason, and he came back and had a big game at Lambeau Field. Because he was so in tune with Aaron Rodgers, he knew where he was supposed to be when Aaron began to scramble. So that's where he had his value.
Would you see this offense being more in line with the distribution of the football if Randall Cobb was just on it? If Randall Cobb was on this team, would we be having the conversations of, well, they're forcing the ball to Devontae too much and they're not looking at other spots?
No, we would be talking about Devontae and Randall getting all the targets.
I kind of lay into that side, too. I don't see if Randall Cobb's on this team, Aaron Rodgers is scanning the full 52.5 saying, oh, that green jersey's open.
I still go back to the Philadelphia game. Early on in that ball game, we saw Aaron Rodgers very frustrated on a third down, threw the ball to was Devontae playing at that point in time or was he not?
He got hurt. Yeah,
he got hurt in that game late.
Yeah.
Threw it to Devontae on a crossing pattern and just kind of threw it into the dirt. Aaron was pointing. Here comes LaFleur running down the sidelines. You could clearly see Aaron say, "What do you want me to do?" kind of sarcastically, and then you could see LaFleur say, "Throw the ball."
Right.
Just throw the ball.
Right.
And to me, I thought, okay, cool. This is a guy saying, knock it off, just get rid of the ball. Maybe that has to happen again, but they just started to get into a flow in that Kansas City game, and I really started to believe that this offense, with the distribution, you didn't need a number two because Jimmy Graham would move the sticks, Mercedes Lewis would move the sticks, Aaron Jones would move the sticks, you had Jamal Williams, you had Marquez Valdes-Scantling. Suddenly Geronimo Allison got rid of the drops and his hands became so much better.
And
I thought, okay, you don't have to have a number two if you can just take chunks and move the ball down the field, and they've completely gotten away from that.
Has there ever been somebody that has made – a better living being somebody else's friend than Jimmy Graham at this point?
Right.
I mean, Aaron Rodgers comes out and talks about how helpful he was last year.
But look at Jimmy, though.
And
when he throws to him, he's got a 40-yard catch this year, a 10-yard catch with a 30-yard run. When you get him the ball, and he's like what I call JerMichael Finley. Involve him early, and he's all over it.
And he can be
If you don't, he goes away. He's just out there moving around and doing it. And no offense to him, But
we've all been that guy playing ball, and all of a sudden you're like, dude's not throwing it over here.
Right.
And you start dogging the route a little bit.
And
human nature.
I said in that Dallas game, in that Oakland game, and in that Kansas City game, that's some of the best football I've seen Aaron Rodgers ever play. And I saw one of his most incredible games against Atlanta in the Dome down there on that run to a Super Bowl.
Right.
And these games were some of the most incredible games because he just, anywhere you weren't, he was going to put it.
Yep.
Now it's like, I'm going to put it here, regardless of whether you're there or not. And that's the thing that becomes so maddening. We're going to go ahead and take a quick break. We're broadcasting live at Coach's Pub and Grill. We're here on South 13th Street in Milwaukee. And if you want to stop by and say hi, we are brought to you by our friends at Bud Light, home of the Big Boy Burger. We just got two of them delivered to the table.
Paul.
Drew and Billy Schmidt going to go face first into those things.
Yeah, Truber going.
We'll let
help.
You know how
Thank
much of this
you,
thing comes back.
Making me do a salad,
when
too.
We come back at the end of break, how much of these things are actually left. But nevertheless, come on by and say hi. We are brought to you by our friends at Bud Light. More of the Bill Michaels Huddle coming up after this.
Wisconsin-wide, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Here we are at Coach's Pub and Grill. It's Bill Michaels Huddle. on South 13th Street in Milwaukee. Always a great place to come and hang out with Cornet and his whole staff. And we got a good crowd here tonight. We've been here before during a Thursday night show, and it's been crowded. We've had a good crowd. Tonight's really good crowd. They got cribbage out back, and they got the games on right now, and you've got the draw for the top four.
Bill, they're playing for keeps out there in this cribbage game, man.
Yeah, well, if shots are fired, we're ducking. We're behind the wall. Yeah, we're
people,
good.
I'm telling you, these people are playing for keeps back here. This is getting
real crap talking.
Real. So, yeah. Real.
I have to sit here and state that our buddy Drew Burgoyne is you're like the Oreo in a fluffernutter. Because because between me and Billy, we're some hefty dudes over here. You know? And then you got Drew, Mr. Fit, who can run marathons and climb mountains and stuff. And so they brought out two big boy burgers. Now, I have to admit, I got here at 5:30, and it was gone in about 15 minutes. So I devoured that thing. But during the break, Drew got through three quarters of his. Have you taken a bite out of yours?
I have not. And there's only one person.
You crushed your salad, though.
I wrecked the salad.
Oh, okay.
And I wouldn't have ordered a salad.
Which I can't believe that you crushed a salad first.
If it wasn't for this man sitting right next to me. The guy is an absolute inspiration. His pecs just jump out of the shirt that you can see during the meteor out, during the 5 day, which I'm still.
That's because he predicted cold weather.
Coming that's true. You just see.
Tightened up.
There's this big. Huge hot warm front coming in from the West Coast, and all of a sudden, if you notice, you can almost see the veins popping out from this dude on the biceps. It's incredible.
Well, that's because his clicker weighs 80 pounds. He's doing curls with his clicker during the nobody else is doing
different
that,
than my 12 ounce curls.
Well, Rob Haswell's not doing 40 pound curls with his clicker. Come on now,
he's asleep. Well, there's a couple in front of us that you can't see, and they absolutely just demolished. The burgers and
they wrecked them.
I thought they were having marital issues because they didn't talk to each other. Yeah. But no, that's not what it was. They inhaled it. Now they're smiling, laughing, and so.
You devoured that.
Yeah,
I'm proud of you.
Really good work, though.
Yeah, you crushed.
Well,
you started out. You started out pouring the dressing on a salad. And I thought he's going to eat the salad, take a couple bites of the burger, go, this is really good,
Isn't
and then leave
so
it like
nice?
That. I'm full. You know. Oh. God.
I could never eat a full one.
Oh, my God. Those burgers give me the vapors. You know, off he goes back to the studio.
He's not your producer.
Yeah. So, and Billy's eating a salad, and I'm like, what the hell?
Right?
I'm in the nexus of the universe over here. What the hell happened? 855-830-8648. If you want to chime in, you can. So we've been talking about this Packers team and some of the holes they have to fill. If you had to label – now, I hate to look ahead, but I'm going to do it anyway just for the sake because we got into that discussion, but – if you're going to label needs for next year, do you go defense again? Peyton Manning at the end of his career won a Super Bowl because of defense.
Because of defense.
Tom Brady is as good as Tom Brady is, but his defense won him that game a couple of years ago. And again last year, really. I mean, when you talk about it, because it was a 3-3 score late in that ballgame. Mm-hmm. So you look at Brady, what he has had over the years. LeVar Jackson could take him to a Super Bowl, but he's got a really good defense.
Right.
Colin Kaepernick got far because they had Navarro and all those guys, and they had a hell of a defense.
Yeah. Patrick Willis.
San Francisco has a terrific defense. Seattle won a Super Bowl with the Legion of Boom because of their defense. Do you say we need more weapons for Aaron Rodgers? Or do we need to continue with this defense and make it as big and as bad as we can? Or do you go after speed at the wide receiver position and depth via free agency for the defense?
See, I think you can get players to score with Aaron Rodgers in free agency. I think if you're going to draft and develop something, you talked about one part there, big. They need to get bigger up front. And as much as I love Kenny Clark's game as much as the next guy, the dude needs some help if you're going to line him up in the interior of a defensive line and expect to stop the run. You get rid of Mike Daniels, who plays alongside of him. Kenny Clark is a small guy. There's a reason why he can rush the passer from the nose tackle position.
He submarines people.
Because he gets underneath people like that. But if you're going to be able to stop the run legitimately, and I think that's where a lot of these problems start. And you attack tight ends because you can run the football and you can control the clock and then take your calculated shot.
What the hell happened to Montrevious Adams? I mean, right, he was supposed to be
a rotational guy.
He was supposed to be the guy, right?
And that's the toughest part because I watched that dude absolutely freight train through the SEC when he was at Auburn. There's
Rashawn Gary the same way. He's only getting about 20% of the snaps now, anywhere from 15 to 20.
Well, and think about
total.
That, too.
But who is he going to displace? Preston?
We watched this team draft their number 12 overall pick. When you don't expect to get that high again in the draft, if you're going to be a competitive team, they took a backup. They took a development dude to back up two guys that they paid, Bill, like you just said, over $100 million combined to.
And right. and they're worth like they're
$100 million.
Right, they're totally worth, you know, what they, you know, what they paid. Bill, I don't know. I'm all.
Seems like they're trying to do a culture change. If I was looking at the defense, it looks like they are trying to build a different kind of culture of a defense.
I think you need another shutdown corner as well. I mean, Tremont Williams isn't going to be around forever.
No.
I'm not ready to.
And Tremont Williams has had, actually, I know he got
really
one over the middle, but he's had a really good season.
Yeah, for those that actually know football. I'm not ready to throw him. I think he's going to be good.
Kevin
for them.
King and Jair Alexander are aggressive, and I like that. They'll take a chance. Now, they'll get burned. It comes with the territory. But I like the fact that they take chances. Jair Alexander, the only knock on him is he will get so many deflections and have opportunities for picks and just doesn't have the hands to bring it in.
Right.
That's why he's not a wide receiver, right?
Yeah, no doubt about
so
it.
So that's the only knock against him.
And talk about being aggressive, too. We're learning how aggressive Darnell Savage Jr. wants to play the safety position.
Right, yeah.
Because he's getting burned a few different times on play action, wanting to come up and stick somebody. I like the kind of secondary that they've built in the last couple of drafts, but I do think if you're going to build this team and think that it's a perennial Super Bowl contender, you need to be able to shorten the game and control the clock, one thing that they haven't been able to do. And as much as that's not fun and you're not going to go and maybe go get CeeDee Lamb, a wide receiver from Oklahoma, or one of those wide receivers you're going to watch against the Badgers in Minnesota this week, because both of those dudes are probably going to go first 2 days. You're probably going to have to go defense to continue building what you think you already have and maybe what you don't have as much of what you thought.
Now the question is, are you going to pay Blake Martinez? Because he's coming up.
If I could pay Joe Schobert, I'd rather do that.
Okay. I could.
Right? Like, yeah. I think they're both fourth-round picks. They're both kind of floating in that realm, but I think Joe Schobert maybe has a little bit more of the playmaking spot that we're looking out of Blake Martinez.
You look at what Pettine wants to do. He wants speed. He wants athleticism and speed.
Right.
He wants to get faster and bigger. Blake Martinez is very – the word I keep using for him is solid, and it's almost like a game manager in football. It's an ugly word.
No doubt about
it. But he's solid. He's a good tackler.
A.J. Hawk.
He's good. Yeah, he's A.J.
Hawk
2.0. You know, maybe a little bit better wheels but and knowledge, but to me, a lot of the things that are going on right now in the middle, it's communication and it's athleticism.
I know Roquan Smith had some issues with the Bears and this and that, but could you imagine someone with that type of athleticism and speed, someone that can
– They were –
You know, I mean, someone like that, you know, I would love to see and draft him high. I don't care. But like I mentioned earlier, as we talked about, do they value an inside linebacker that much? And I don't think they do. And that's why I think we're spinning our wheels almost with that type of conversation. I could be wrong.
Sure. No, and I think it's a good point, Drew, because you were two picks away from getting Devin Bush, who ended up going 10 to Pittsburgh. That dude's having a phenomenal year and possibly could be an all-pro.
Right.
So, I mean, there's...
Think about this. You could say you jump up and grab him. You could add T.J. Watt, you know. Man, and that defense has kind of helped him out. That's kind of carried him when they went on, when they started out 1-4.
Yeah,
because
they're starting
straight
a guy
that.
Who calls himself Duck willingly.
Yeah, I know. That's a whole other story within itself. Let's do this. We're going to go ahead and take a quick break. We're broadcasting live at Coach's Pub and Grill. Here on South 13th Street, we are in Milwaukee. Come on by and say hi, packed house, and it keeps getting more and more packed as we speak. Everybody coming in for the Big Boy Burger, the cribbage tournament tonight. You've got hoops over there on the big screen. You've got the ESPN countdown to the top 25 teams in the country. So there's a lot happening here. Come on out and say hello on this pre-Thanksgiving day is what we'll call it.
There you go.
And join the Bill Michaels Show, the Bill Michaels Huddle out here, brought to you by our friends at Bud Light, the official beer sponsor of the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network. We've got more right after this.
You're listening to the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Welcome back. We are broadcasting live. We're at Coach's Pub and Grill. We're here on South 13th Street in Milwaukee. If you want to come on by, we got another hour yet to go to the program. Going until 8 o'clock tonight. Talking about this Packers team and the aftermath really coming out of the game against the San Francisco 49ers. Drew Burgoyne from CBS 58 alongside and from our flagship station out of Milwaukee, 1250 AM and 105.7 FM, The Fan. Bill Baby Tal Schmid is here as well. So the Packers get physically beat up. We all know that, okay? And it seems like there's the level of the 49ers, and then maybe a tick or two below, you've got Seattle, although Seattle beat them, so I'd put Seattle right there with them. And Seattle beat them in San Fran. And then you've got, you know, a team like, say, the Saints and a team like, say, the Vikings and the Packers. They're kind of bunched in, and you kind of pick any one of those teams on any given week. So the question then becomes, what is the Packers' final record? Is it 12-4 or 13-3? Billy, I'll start with you.
I think it's 13-3. I think they finally win up at U.S. Bank. They haven't been able to go and get a win there, and this is one of the – that'll be the premier test where you go up to U.S. Bank and you've now gotten beat up twice when you knew you were going to get tested physically and get punched in the mouth. You know what it's going to take to go and get a win against the Minnesota Vikings up in their place, because they're going to try to run the ball on you, and they're going to have some success running the football on you. To think Dalvin Cook is just going to lay down for you when you go up there, he's going to have – his 100-something yards, you're going to have to make sure you neutralize Adam Thielen along with Stephon Diggs on the outside, and Kyle Rudolph up the middle and Irv Smith aren't going to be any slouches as well. But that's the game to me that you see where the organization steps up to a team that in the last 2 years they've been much better than you as a program and an organization. So I think they end up 13-3. I think they get the win in Minnesota, and I think they end up the 3 seed.
For all of Bill's points right there, that's why I think they're 12 wins. That Viking game, I think that worries me.
Let's say they end up at 12 wins. Seattle has next week the Vikings. They get them up in Seattle.
Yep.
Then they go on the road and take on the Rams, and we saw the Rams get dump truck last night.
That kind of made me feel a little bit better.
I don't know if the Rams are going to respond or
they're
if Jared Goff and company are going to tuck away and just go away and become nothing.
They're done.
And they've got issues. I mean, Goff, they're paying a lot of money, too.
Who is calling them done?
Yeah.
Time of death, 9:13 last night.
It's over. So you've got Jared Goff and company, who they're paying a ton of money to. Jalen Ramsey, who gave up all the picks for, and he is now sniping. He doesn't want to be there. You've got
crazy,
which you all knew. You've got an aging Clay Matthews.
Yeah, he doesn't look good.
You know, you paid a ton of money to Donald. You got a ton of money wrapped up in some guys. Donald is at least semi-producing, but Goff has looked bad
in 5 players.
Yeah, and so I don't know if that's the methodology by which any team would want to follow at this point. They were kind of like they fooled you last year, and that's the way a lot of people out in L.A. are now feeling.
Now that you brought that up, I remember I took some notes for when they first made that trade. So they have Cooks, Goff, Donald, Ramsey, and Gurley. So those five
and
guys.
And Gurley hasn't looked the same since he injured that knee last year, and they said it wasn't a knee injury.
Those five guys are all in the top 5 of highest paid players at their position, and they take over 50% of their cap. And they've traded their first round picks in all but 5 consecutive years.
You're done. Your window's you're closed.
So I don't know what the Rams are going to be. Seattle then has to go to Carolina to face the Panthers, and I don't know what the Panthers are going to be.
Yeah.
They got to take on the Cardinals, and they got to take on the 49ers at the end of the season. So let's say they get 2 losses. That would put them at 12-4. Okay? So then you move on. You look at the 49ers schedule, and I mentioned the 49ers for where they're at. The 49ers have a tough way to go because they got to go.
Welcome to hell.
Yeah, they got to go on the road, and they got to take on Baltimore. Then they got to go to New Orleans. They still have got a couple easy games in there, but then they still have to go to Seattle and take on the Seattle Seahawks. So they could very well end up with say a record of 12-4.
And that's also a team that beat the Arizona Cardinals by a score twice.
Right.
So I mean, like it's not like outside of the Packer game, you've seen this team dump truck people. You saw them beat up Carolina, and you saw them beat up Green Bay, where they punched the team in the mouth early. Got a turnover, got a score, and momentum rolled on the way throughout, and it was over, and the landslide just kept coming.
Do you think the Packers, you know, certain teams just don't match up well? Do you think the Packers are just one of those teams with the 49ers? They just don't match up well. I mean, is that
possible?
Just possible?
Yeah,
is
it's
possible.
Part of it.
And so you just hope you don't go through that road. It was like
you lost the physicality up front. I mean,
you
lost in the trenches. That's where you really lost that game. So the Packers, if you go by your methodology, they could end up at 13-3. They still, depending on what happens with the Saints, because the Saints are at 9-2. The Saints are kind of the very quiet monkey wrench in this whole thing. And I know people are kind of rolling their eyes right now saying there's no way they're going to get the number one seed, but there's still that outside possibility. But
there's still a chance they can definitely
record-wise,
get
in the NFC, you've got 4 or 5 teams that could still get it. In the AFC, you know it's either going to be New England or Baltimore, and everybody else is playing for third best in that conference.
We pretty much know in the NFC – who's going to make the playoffs, right? And we know the wild cards.
You got a couple of monkey wrenches. You got the Vikings are in there.
Yeah,
you know somebody from the East has to win. So right now Dallas is on
it's
top.
It's got to be Dallas.
So you've got a
point,
team
yeah.
that could end up winning 12 games. It may not even make the postseason.
But we know the wild card's coming out of the West and it's coming out of the North, right?
At this
and
point,
then,
yeah.
And then
no
whoever else
it, right.
wins the division. I mean, so – yeah, you kind of have a good, at least, idea when it comes to that. So.
I think my favorite part about it as well, and you just mentioned it, you're kind of cheering for the Niners now to take the thing off the sheet, and they'll be the number one seed, and you can still get that number two.
Right.
Because if they beat New Orleans, you still do hold that tiebreaker over New Orleans, because they both suffer one extra conference loss if the Packers and Saints both lose to the Niners.
Yeah.
You had it right now, you'd be able to take up and get that number two and get that one bye. And, guys, a week off for Aaron Rodgers is going to be
you get
so
the,
huge.
Although we saw the week off, it didn't do jack going out to San Francisco. But
true.
You get a
true.
Week off,
self-scout,
and
yeah.
you get a week off to get ready to have a home game, which
yes.
you would assume at Lambeau Field in the cold weather in January. We all know it's the most inclement. So I would much rather see New Orleans come here. I would much rather see San Fran come here. I would much rather see Dallas come here. You know,
I don't know if I'd rather see Seattle come here, though.
No, because they don't mind
at all.
Weather. Russell Wilson doesn't mind that weather.
And I do not want to see that guy in this situation.
Another hour of the Bill Michaels Huddle brought to you by Bud Light. Coming up right after this.
Sports Talk Network.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.